It's your girl Shells, and welcome back to another episode of Mama Drama Podcast. Are you loving the merch? Yes, we love it. Guys, we are joined by Khalifa, who runs the Happy Single Mondays Podcast. And today's ep is literally going to be all things single motherhood-ish stuff. Yeah, we're going to get straight into it. She's come prepared with her notes. Yeah. we love that. We love the preparation. We love all of that. Can we just
call that in a little bit?
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, don't hurry. Yeah, just push that in. There we go. Perfect. We just want to make sure everyone can read you. Read you. Can you hear?
Yeah.
There we go. We can hear you. Goodness me, guys. Anyway, yeah, before we get into it, I've gone on your good old Twitter. Twitter X. Okay. And I just typed in, single mothers.
Yeah.
In the search bar.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read.
Oh my Lord.
And I'm just going to get you guys used. And it's a variation. I literally just screenshotted like the first couple that came up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Lord.
Thank you, Daiki. So.
I thought it's going to be good.
It's not.
It's never good, is
okay.
it?
Okay. Let me just say it and then you guys react. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And tell me what you think. Females be fucking their BD, baby daddy, and still be single mothers.
Females be fucking their baby daddies and still be single moms. Okay, yeah. Married women are single moms as well. Each to their own, that's what I would say. From the research that I've done, there are like 2.9 single moms in the UK. 2.9 single moms in...
9%?
2.9 million single mothers in the UK alone. So, if they choose to F their baby daddies, that's their choice. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to do that. So each to their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I would say to that.
Ooh, yeah, I love that. Short and sharp. What do you have to say?
What was I going to say?
It's about valuing yourself.
How can you be a single mom and be sleeping with your baby father? And you two are not together, but you're just justifying the fact that you're going to be sleeping with him. Yeah. That to me is just a bit wild.
It is.
It's your baby father. Yeah. It's your father of your children, child, or whatever. Mm. But you're still single.
Mm. I think it is wild. But I think in our generation, a lot of girls, number one, they don't want to go backwards. Like in regards to like their body count, they're like their familiarity.
Yeah.
Do you understand? True. They want to stay with who they know, what they know, and who they like, and they don't want to, you know, have multiple sexual partners.
Yeah.
So hence why they go back to that person. And I do have single friends that don't have kids that they would say, do you know what? If a man that they know has got a baby mother, they're like, nah, because I know for sure that they're still sleeping with their baby mother. Do you get what I mean? So it depends on the stage of life that the single mother is actually at, whether she's completely over that, knows that the door is shut. But if the door is a little bit open, then there is an availability and a possibility whereby he goes to pick up the kid and it can happen. So I do have some girlfriends that would say that, do you know what, if the kid is under 5, for example, they know.
I agree with that statement, though.
They know that, do you know what, if the kid is below a particular age, nah, there will still be a connection. Tommy has a flu. Tommy needs trainers. Tommy needs John, whatever it is. There's still such a connection whereby there's a possibility.
It's too soon, isn't
you
it?
You two will look at each other in the middle of the night and then boom, it happens.
Yeah.
So it depends on where you are at mentally. If that relationship has failed, if that relationship isn't going anywhere, we as women as well, especially as single moms, we need to take accountability. Mm. And you need to know that, do you know what? This relationship has not worked out for a reason. So the door has to shut. If you want to sleep with that person because you don't want to go out and meet Tommy, Peter, Frank, or go on Tinder, then that's you. So it's kind of like you're stabbing yourself. But when you stab yourself, don't say, I'm hurt. That's where I stand in regards to that.
Wow, let me sip my drink. Boy.
Should we cheers?
Should we cheers? There's cheers, guys. Love the gems. Yeah. There we go. All right, another one.
Oh, God.
I've only got like two more after this, yeah? All right. So isn't it amazing how women are still in denial with all the proof in their families? Your auntie, big sister, older cousins are single mothers of two plus with no man, and they are overwhelmed by it. But for reason, women still lie on themselves, talking they don't need a man.
Okay, I think every woman needs a man. Whether it's your uncle, your brother, your cousin, we all need men, do you understand? But I think that there is a movement with feminism that has happened in this day and age that's made us believe that we don't need men. And in actual fact, we need men. Because, you know, there's that stupid quote that behind every good man is a good woman. Mm. Behind every good woman is a good man. Mm. Whether it's your uncle, your man, your cousin, we need men. But what has happened is, and what society has pushed, is the pure fact that you can do this shit by yourself. We cannot. You need friends, you need family, you need cousins, you need uncles, you need pastors. We need other people. But it's just a particular stereotypical thing that a lot of Black women have, sadly, that I don't need you. I can do this all by myself. I'm a single mom. And I make sure I use my brothers. I make sure I use my cousins. I make sure I use the men around me to help raise my child, because I know the deficit. I know the fact that I can't do this by myself. I'm a woman. There are times whereby I've got a whole son. There are things that I can't answer. Do you understand? And the fallacy is that some single moms feel like they can do it by themselves. When you come to the realization that I cannot do this by myself, I actually do need a man for certain things, I think that's where the freedom lies. If you go on like, I can do this, I'm a bad girl, I can do this, that's where the we get nonsense statistics like Black boys in prison, Black boys going to prove. When you know that there are certain agencies like boxing and youth centers and other organizations that can actually help raise your kids in regards to where you know the deficit is, that's where the freedom lies. I know there's certain things that I can't teach my son, so that's why I rely on other men. There's certain things that I can't do. I'm an ambassador for Soft Girl Life all day long, yeah? I don't like changing no frigging light bulb, yeah? And I will call a handyman, or I'll call my cousin, or I'll call my brother. And I like my son seeing other men in the house helping me out with stuff, so he can see that men are needed, men are an asset to society. We need men. Without a man, I wouldn't have had my son. So that statement is nonsensical to me personally.
Girl, you better say something.
No, I don't disagree. That's why I'm nodding. Yeah. So there's nothing I can even add to
you
that.
You better say something.
No, girl, I'm just some shit. I'm gonna do that. Yeah.
No, we do
need men, and we do. And there's certain things that, like, I've got a whole son. And I can't answer certain questions. There was one time my son said to me, Mommy, like, obviously he's not going to see this. He was like, Mommy, why is it that, because he's 13, I was like, why is it that my thing's a little bit hard in the morning? Like, it's, and I was like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's just certain questions that I can't ask. I had to call my brothers. I was like, listen, you lot need to call him and talk to him, because
you can't teach that. Like, you're not a man, and he's not going to identify. I've got a son, he's 17, so those questions, and when those things came about, it was my dad and my brother were the first people that I called.
Yeah. And I think that is where the strength lies. I think that especially as Black women, we go on like we are, I mean, the thing that kills it is that we actually are strong. Mm-hmm. We know we are strong. Mm-hmm. We know that we're the pillar of society, mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm. Even historically, Black women used to breastfeed
slave owners' children. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we know that we can do this, mm-hmm. but where the strength lies in our own weaknesses. When I know there's certain things I can't do, so when I rely on other people and be like, cool, I can't do this, you lot now come. There's so many podcast bros that I see online, Black women, they're the single moms, this. So why can't you lot help single moms? Mm. Why can't you see a single mom in your area and be like, do you know what? I see that you're struggling in certain ways.
Let me help you. For real.
Because the thing is, I worked at the Ministry of Justice for 10 years. I've got a law degree and I've got a master's, yeah? Mm. And then when I worked in the Ministry of Justice, especially within a youth court, I saw a lot of young Black boys, especially. The reasons why they were doing counting lines is when a lot of the elders would get the young boys to go and sell drugs in the countryside and stuff, was because they would see a young boy that might not have the latest creps or whatever you call it, or latest tracksuit, and be like, hey, bruv, let me chuck you £100. They haven't seen £100 in a long time. Mm. Do you understand? And the, maybe they would go back home and be like, oh, mum, I know you're struggling with the council tax or what have you. Take that. Mm. Do you understand? Because they're getting groomed from outside. Yeah, because they can see that there's a deficit inside. In actual fact, when a single mom, when you know that there is, when you are struggling with certain things, you have got people around you. We do not have to be so strong as Black women. There are people around us. And I'm a strong believer in God that he places people around us that can help. But it's about us whether we're willing to actually be like, do you know what? I'm struggling.
Mm.
So we have to remove our own pride for our kids. It might even be having to remove your pride to call your baby father when you might not want to do that. But it's about, are we willing to remove our pride to ask for help for with whoever but is around us?
Do you think it's pride or the self-fulfilling prophecy, the label that we're given as strong Black women, and then us just fulfilling that prophecy of what people label us as rather than us labeling ourselves as that?
I think that the people have labeled us, but it's our choice whether we want to fulfill the prophecy. And for me, I let men know, even with the dating aspect, that no, I'm not here to be no strong Black woman. Mm. I know you can see that I live by myself. I know you can see that I've got my car, but you're still going to provide because that's what a man's meant to do. Mm. So I think that there are times whereby we have to make room for vulnerability. And I think that that's the problem that we have. We're where there can't be two people driving a car. Mm. There has to be one person driving, another person in the passenger seat, being able to direct that person.
Mm.
So I have come to the point in my life whereby I realize that I'm done driving a car. Mm. I can drive it. I'm a bad driver. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Driver, don't stop at all. All of that. But I don't want to drive the car. Because
you're tired of driving.
It's long. It's actually long. And there'll be a sense of resentment. And when I even meet men and I can see that I'll end up driving a car, I just run. Because I know I'll be like, babe, have you done this? Babe, have you done that? And the thing is, when you start parenting your partner, there'll be a sense of rebellion. Especially as parents. Kids rebel at one point, like teenagers. So I don't want to parent my partner. It's long. Mm. So I think that as women, especially as Black women, we have to come to a point whereby we're like, if I meet a man and I know that I can see certain things, we have to be like, I like you,
but
sex is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a no.
To safeguard yourself.
Yeah, to safeguard our heart. And our kids know when our hearts are broken. That's what's even worse. Even you don't even have to say it. Mm. My son knows when I'm upset.
Mm.
I don't even have to say anything. He'll be like, Mommy, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. But he knows. It's weird. They can smell it.
Because they're with you. They're your handbag.
That's true.
This is just...
Yeah.
I got one more. It's a long one. This is the last one. Yeah. This isn't my first time being home alone with the kids while Chris was away for a work trip. He's currently in London. But we are now on day 3 and something is bothering me. It's no way single mothers of multiple kids date successfully without it being a man that is genuinely invested in sacrificing time to ensure availability at the drop of a dime and the ability to plan way ahead. Between work and the kids and more work, plus 1 hour of me time in the evening before bed to watch a little TV, I don't have any free time. And during my free time, I'm constantly doing things and planning things and doing other things. I start my day at 5-ish every day, non-stop moving and grooming until 8 p.m. minimum. And that's literally non-stop moving. Something else, it's wild, it's draining. And the last thing I want to do is to have a flirt and care about someone else's day. I can't imagine what it is like at this stage as a single parent of multiple kids. What way I'd be alive if I say it wouldn't wear me down.
Wow. That is heavy.
Hello.
But there's something that my Nigerian mother said to me when I was pregnant. And what's mad about the situation, when I found out I was pregnant, I was going for a consultation that same day for my boobs. I was going to get my... I did get them done, by the way, guys. Anyway, so I was going for a consultation at Harley Street, but I was like, Mom, I don't feel well. Yeah. I was like, do you know, I'm just going to do... I thought it was a joke. I was like, I think I'm just going to do a pregnancy test. And then I did the test and it came out positive. And I was bawling on the floor. I was like, oh my God, Mom, what have I done? I was doing my law degree. I was crying. And there's something my Nigerian mom said. She said to me, Khalifa, as you are crying right now, there's someone else crying because they are going to be a single mother as well. Get up, go for your consultation. That's what my mom said. Do you understand? And the reality of single motherhood is, single motherhood is as hard as you make it. That is it. Parenting is as hard as you make it. If you make it hard in your head, it's going to be hard forever. So for everything that you've just read there, yes, it's stressful. Yes, it's hard. But life is hard.
For real.
It's easy. That's why God gave us wine.
Yeah.
And he gave us vape. He gave us raving. Yeah. It is hard. That's why we have friends. You understand? It is as hard as you make it. Parenting, even if you have a partner, it is still hard because there will be some sense of resentment, like, oh, I did the night shift last night. You were sleeping, you were snoring. Oh, do you understand? So it is hard work showing up for yourself, showing up for your partner, showing up for your kids, showing up for your family, showing up for your community. It is a long thing, but we do it, and especially we do it as women because we are the pillars of society. So my thing to that is, shit is hard. What are you going to do about it? Something I say to my 13-year-old is, and I say to him all the time, listen, baby, because when he comes back and says, oh, this happened at school today, mum, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look at your hands, yeah? So that when you're by yourself like this one, yeah, someone can bend your finger and it's hard. When you're with a couple of fingers like this, you can turn it into a fist and then you can push forward and you can punch something, yeah? That's what a community is for. Yeah, to turn it into a fist, to punch forward, to push ahead. That's why we have our aunties, our uncles, our friends, our pastors, our communities. The reason why I created the Happy Single Moms podcast was because I didn't have a tribe. So I created a tribe. Do you understand? So that lady that's complaining about, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm tired, create a tribe. Even if you don't have a tribe, journal. Do something. Drink wine. Do something. Yeah. You understand? So that's what I would do anyway. That's what I have done, to be fair. Just I think it's long complaining because if it's not gonna get better, what's the point? I'm wasting my breath.
And energy.
Yeah. I allocate what, because there are times whereby seasonally you get tired and you get pissed off doing stuff by yourself. I allocate time. I have like a pity party. I'm like, all right, cool, this weekend I'm done. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna watch rom-coms. And this is my weekend. No one call me. I'll cry. I'll be pissed off. And I'm like, all right, cool. Monday's here. Let me, you know, wipe my concealer and move on. That's how life is. That's it.
I love that.
Yeah. The reason why we're not butting in, because we're not even disagreeing.
Girl, you don't better butt in.
We don't. If we don't disagree, then we ain't saying nothing. We just listen and we nod. We just do that.
No,
it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. How do you feel about the UK male perspective and how they treat single mothers? Forget the US, forget Twitter, because it's predominantly dominated by
Americans,
right? Let's just hone it in a little bit to Londoners, UK. I don't know whether you're north, south, east, west.
I mean, east, south.
Girl.
Yeah.
Okay, but
like,
okay, see who you have those interactions with, like, at what they go online and maybe say, like, what are your actual views? Because I see you, like, reposting stuff on your page and then, like, yeah, so just talk us through.
Oh, God. The thing is, it's sad because I think that a lot of, especially men, have it in for a lot of single moms. Do you understand? And number one, there's no one saying that, like, when I was 5 years old, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to grow up and be a single mom. Mm. No one wants that for themselves. Everyone wants the 2.4 family. Mm. They want to a family. Do you understand? They want to make it work. However, different circumstances happen and then you become a single mom. There are statistics that do show that, yes, by all means, single motherhood, some single moms create, you know, statistics, prison, prue, blah, blah, blah. But there are also single moms that create kids that are successes.
Mm-hmm.
They're single. And my son was signed by Disney at 10 years old. He was Simba in The Lion King. He's currently at the Royal Academy of Music. Do you understand? It's Jesus. It's not me. Yeah. But we don't get grace. It's like we're all thrown into the same pot are your baby mum, your baby mum, your baby. Do you understand? But no one offers help. It's just battering single motherhood and battering. You went around banging this guy, so you got pregnant. You could have had an Have you had an abortion? Have you had an abortion to know what it's like? Mm. I've had an abortion and I'm open to share that. Mm. That shit is not easy. Mm. It is the worst experience ever because you're not at home sitting there watching a Pampers advert thinking to yourself, rah, my kid could be five by now. Mm. Do you understand? So I get it on both perspectives. Do you understand? I get it on the single moms that have the kid and they are being like belittled by society. And I get it by the men that possibly were raised by single moms and they didn't do the best of jobs in regards to raising them. I get it, but where is the grace? Because like I mentioned earlier, there are 2.9 million single moms in the UK alone. In America, let me give you the statistics. 15 million single parents in America. So now, if these are the studies and these are just the statistics, how many podcasts are we going to have bashing single moms? Because right now, someone is getting pregnant. Tomorrow, someone's getting pregnant. Mm. Next week, someone is getting pregnant. And why is it that you can go to a park and you can see a single mom struggling and you'd be like, oh, she did it to herself. But you could see a single father struggling and you're like, oh.
They feel sorry for him. It's different.
Oh my God, yeah. Look at him. Oh, you're such a good dad. Mm. It's weird why men get so much grace, and especially Black women, yeah, we don't get that much grace. I did my pregnancy alone, was working full-time for the Ministry of Justice, studying, doing my master's, doing everything alone, but I'm still, quote-unquote, the stereotypical single mum. Do you understand? My thing is to a lot of the bros is that I find that a lot of them were raised by single moms. So the anger really isn't towards me. It's towards your mama. Mm. So you need to check why you're so angry. And if you cannot, someone said something to me one time. It was really profound. They said that if you find that there's a problem, oftentimes you're the solution to that problem, you know. If you're so vexed about something, you are the solution to that problem. So if you're angry about single motherhood, what are you doing to help?
Mm.
What are you doing? So that's my only ick, as the young generation like, that's my only ick about the single motherhood situation is that there's so much negative rhetoric. What are you doing to help that? Because I didn't want to be a single mom.
Mm.
A lot of women don't want to be a single mom, but that's the hand that we are played. And I don't regret my son. A lot of mums don't regret their kids. If whoever regrets their kid, that's between you and Jesus, do you understand? Mm. But how are you helping? Cussing us out is not going to help. Black women, especially, are already being cussed at. We're already being downcast. We're already being said sexualized. We're already being, you know, having to fight every single battle. And then to then cuss us out about, oh, you're doing this by yourself. Why is it that you lot aren't cussing out the bros? You lot are willing to rave with the guys and rave with the guys that don't look after their kids buying bottles. Why aren't you saying that, Raul, when's the last time you saw your kid?
Mm.
But you're willing to co-sign it and cuss out the mum. So it's just about us really looking at our own people and our own community and being like, what are you doing? Yeah. Even down to our single mums as well. Like, what are you doing? I have friends that we stopped talking because of the pure fact that I have zero financial support from my own kid's dad. And the mums that is weird, the mums that I know that actually do have support, some of them are mad, yeah? Like, the dads actually support financially. And they're like, oh, this kid needs, your son needs a Stone Island jacket that's 400. I'm like, why don't you get your kid a tutor? Like, it's weird. So I find that anyway, let me say this. I find that some baby mums that have support from their fathers are weird because it's like the dads actually want to be involved and they're mad.
I agree with that.
And I find
that so weird.
They are mad.
Yeah. Because when you're a single mother and you don't have nothing, and then you get the ones that get everything, and then they're so ungrateful.
Oh my God.
That's what irks me as well. I'm like, how ungrateful are you? Because there's a single mom who does it by themselves and does all their stuff by themselves who would love to have even a quarter
of what you have,
an eighth of what you have. So that resonates, and I agree with
you. It's upsetting.
One.
And I even feel like, even within the single motherhood sphere, at there's a hierarchy. Because I used to have friends as well that would say to me, what did you do? Other single moms would be like, what did you do for your baby father not to, like, for him not to even want to be around? Like, what did you understand? Like, my baby father's, and it's weird. I'm thinking to myself that, like, how is it within our own community that you still feel like you are better?
But imagine that, you're in a sub-community.
And you're still cussing me out.
I'm still the lesser.
Thank you. It's weird, but I just think that it's just about self-hate. It's about self-hate. Mm. And I think that it's like crabs in a bucket. Like, I'm better than you because I have this and I have that. But ultimately, I wish that there came a point whereby Black men especially would see that, do you know what? My neighbor is a single mom and I can see her struggling. Let me take her son out for football or something, which obviously safeguarding included because of social stuff. But let me buy her shopping. Imagine if we had a space whereby we all helped each other and we all loved each other, because it's only within the Black, funnily, the community that I find this. The Asian community, they don't do this. If there's a single mom, I have a girlfriend that's this Asian, and the whole family huddles together, you know? So why is it
that she has to get remarried?
She has to get remarried. But it's like the other communities huddle together to protect that child, because that child is an asset. That child is carrying.
But it's how we value ourselves as Black people then, because, and it's a sad truth. Because when we look at these young boys in our community, and it's not only our community as well, as young boys, full stop, with the whole knife stuff. I don't know if you saw that recent one that was in like a takeaway. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw it.
And it's mad because you're seeing a video and going, luckily he had a knife, because he would have got chopped up. There was a young boy in a diner place. Doesn't seem like it was a name place. It could have been a Morley's or something, yeah? And he's in there with a girl, just chilling with a girl. And his two boys come out with their swords, yeah? And they look to try and stab him. They run in the place. He grabs a stool and he has a knife in his hand and he's trying to defend them with this. But luckily, and I saw a lot of comments, they're like, right, in this case, luckily he had something, because if he didn't, he would have died. But the reason why I go on to that is because about male influences and what they say a lot. And my experience, I suppose, to a degree, is that the men are missing from the relationships. If you go back into what's the family unit saying, the male is lost in that. And I do think, and I do agree with what you're saying, it would be nice if you had people in the Black community full stop, not even breaking it down to African or Caribbean or whatever, because you can have Portuguese Black, you can have all different types of Black people. But if we know this is something that's happening within our race, and then there is people, Black males, are happy to pass things on and support, it is a nice idea. But I just don't see the idea actually happening.
Why?
I think that Black people, from my experience, and it sounds really bad, No, but it's real talk, yeah? From my experience and what I see, is that we're very, I'm going to do me and keep myself to myself, and I'm going to just do what I need to do to get by type of thing. And there isn't enough sense of community. I think that's from my view, and I think that's part of the problem. I think if we have unity, and I've seen that Idris Elba's trying to do something right now, and I think that's great, and I think there's other influential people in the Black community that are doing stuff and trying to do things, and I don't know if it's going to gather momentum or not, but I know that this level of crime, for example, where they are saying a lot of single moms and there's and they need help and support, it's been said for years, but what's actually happening? What do we actually see? What do we hear about? Do you see flyers? Do you see stuff on Instagram? Do you see stuff on TikTok? Do we see these things? And that's the reason why I'm saying it. I'm being presumptuous, but I'm being presumptuous based on the fact of whatever I'm seeing, and I don't see enough of it. So that's why I can say I don't think in our community that we don't have the sense of community enough to take responsibility for someone else's child that's not yours, but the seeing the identity of the fact that this is a Black child in our community, and we need to protect them, and we need to protect the mothers, and we need to support those mothers. Yeah. And where those dads have not been able to do so, it's cool, I've got you and I can support you. Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I think it's amazing, but I just don't see it happening. That's sad. It's sad, but I just...
Yeah, I've got more on that. I mean, you say we're a community, but I genuinely think that there's just so much segregation within the Black community. So I think you get across cultures, but what you're more likely to get is like a group of, let's just say, Pakistani people that'll come over. I know this family, they'll all live in White House. They'll all crack on with it. You get out, you marry this one, you go, and they'll kind of just deal with each other internally. Whereas there's just so much segregation and division within the Black community. Obviously, you've got Africa, but then Africa's a continent. You've got Nigeria, you've got West Africa, East Africa, South Africa. And then obviously everyone does like kind of stick to their subcultures and stuff like that. Yeah. But then the statistics, if you actually look at it, it is predominantly Caribbean Black males, whereby in our culture, and I don't care as a Caribbean, I am going to say it, it is okay to be a baby mom. Whereas in your culture, as a Nigerian,
Nigerian,
is not okay.
Because your
dad will crush you.
All the aunties cussing me out. Where's your husband?
Where's your husband? You live until they know that you've got a husband, right? Whereas for us, your auntie, sister, oh yeah, she's a baby mom. It's just a culture.
I don't know. For my family, I wouldn't say the same thing though.
Okay, because exemption.
But generally, it's not frowned upon as much as.
It's not frowned upon. Like, you can, that's the whole term baby mom came from the Caribbean. Where it did not come from, it was Jamaicans when they were coming over and whatever. They, like, that was the terminology that they were using for the women of the mothers of their children. So it originates from the Caribbean, and then it's obviously just...
Are you sure it's not even American?
It's not American. Okay. So the fact of the matter is, like, we have a bigger thing to kind of look at within us as Caribbean people, and I can see where the divide when they come in, because then maybe... women who are of different cultures and stuff like that will say, like, well, they kind of just do whatever, and it's their kids that are doing that. And then maybe the other cultures within the Black culture may say, oh, it's not ours, it's not the African kids, really. Like, they come from good homes, at least the mum and the dad's, even though the dad's got five wives over there or whatever, he's still around, sort of thing. So it's really difficult, I think, in that degree. But the community thing's a great idea.
To be fair, I agree with you, and I've said this before in other episodes. I've said it's a problem within our community, within the Caribbean community, and I've taken ownership of that. And I say it's because what we've seen, what we experience, we know it. It is what it is.
But I would like to say that I think also that it is, especially with me working within a Ministry of Justice and me working within a youth court, working with probation, working with CAMS, I think that it's also a cultural thing. It's a tribalistic thing, because I think that if you look at the movement of like Top Boy, let's just say like when Top Boy came out, I love Top Boy, it was so interesting. However, even when I worked in a court service, there were kids that grew up in brilliant homes, affluent homes, and they would come down to East London to join gangs because it is a cultural thing.
It's glamorized.
It's glamorized. They wanted to be part of that culture, and they wanted to be part of that gang and stuff like that. So I think that within our Western world, a lot of young kids want to feel and they want to belong to a tribe. Now, if we look at it spiritually, historically, your family are meant to be your tribe. Your father is meant to be your tribe. Do you understand? Like, teach you about, like,
let's be the chief.
Teach you about this is our home. Do you get what I mean? And that's why, for example, the gang members are the leaders, the elders, you know? So that's why I think it's not it cuts across the Caribbean thing when it comes to the gangs, because there are a lot of African and Somalian guy,
everyone, no race.
I think that the thing that a lot of young people now are chasing, despite the single motherhood problem, the single fatherhood problem, the broken family problem, they're chasing the feeling of needing to belong to something. They need to belong to something. Government have removed our youth centers where people could go and do their grime and stuff. And it's up to us as parents to give our kids the identity. Jesus always helps as well. Family members, guiding them, but they get the choice as well. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Because we all have all rebelled in our own growing stage. But I think that from what I've seen with young people, they are seeking a tribe. They're seeking a sense of belonging. And it's sad that they fall into the wrong hands. Because one thing one young boy said in court, and it really broke my heart, when he stabbed someone, and he got, I can't remember how many years he got, but he said, I thought he was going to get back up. Because obviously, like, do you know when they play these video games? Like, he stabbed him and the guy died. He stabbed him in the heart and he was like, oh, I thought he was going to get back. That's what he said in court. He was like, I thought he was going to get back up. And that the reality is that they're acting like grown men.
But they're children. And to have such a simplistic answer and response and not think of, you stabbed him in the area where his heart is. You know where that is. Don't be dumb. But dumb. At that moment, you're dumb because you're not even thinking. Yeah. Because you're not thinking.
Yeah. And I think that it's sad because they're young and they're pushed into an
arena.
Yeah, this big world. And they're taken advantage of because as some single moms, they're struggling financially. They're trying to find love. They're trying to find money. They're trying to find so many things. And they don't have the foresight to carry on looking at what Tommy is doing, and something else is grabbing Tommy. So it's so hard. And that's why I said about that's why the community is so important. And that's why the Black men that are on these podcasts, if you can help. Mm. If you can bless a single mom with, let me take your son out for football, let me counsel your, do it. Mm. Don't come on the podcast and be cussing us out. It's hard already. Mm. The reason why I even wanted to start my podcast, and the reason why I called it Happy Single Moms Podcast, was because when I was happy, people wanted me to be sad.
Yeah.
And I was like, rah.
They want a struggle life.
They want a struggle life. Mm. They're like, rah, you're happy for a single mom. I was like, rah, so am I meant to be sad?
Yeah.
Like, it upsets people.
Because it's the connotations that they attach to a single mom, your own benefits. You just have Capri Suns in your fridge.
that your side nigga wants to drink. Sorry, I can't say side nigga. I drank her son's Capri Sun in it. Yeah, yeah. It tasted good, didn't it? It was cold.
You already know,
it was cold.
And eating them animal biscuits.
It quenched me.
Yeah, quenched my thirst after I blew her back out. All of that. No, but it's true. Yeah. They want
to put you in that category, and when you're doing better, it's like, how so?
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you mean? Like, fight or flight.
Yeah.
Some women have it and some don't.
Yeah.
And that's a fact, isn't it?
It's sad. It's sad that they, yes. My, if anyone takes anything from this, I would want, if you have a single mom that's near you, around you, help her.
Mm.
Help her. Let's help our community. Let's give more love, more grace. Okay, fine. Yeah, she shouldn't be a single mom. Yeah, da, da, da. Okay, cool.
It happens, though, isn't it? You don't know the circumstances.
The same way a lot of Black men, society could turn around and be like, "Oh, you lot are gang members," and but that's not the full scope of Black people. Mm. That's not the full scope of single motherhood. Mm. People are single mothers every day, babe. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Being divorced, being a widow, then you can still help, regardless of how someone became a single mom.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you so much, Kee.
Oh,
thank you. No, the gems were amazing. Where can the people find you?
Ooh, child. You lot can find me on the Happy Single Moms podcast. That's where I'm at. We just did our first ever single mom workshop, and the mayor of Newham came along as well to bless us with wonderful words, because she's currently campaigning now, and she empowering women as part of her manifesto, and she came down and we had wonderful single moms that came down that were speakers. Stephanie Taylor, she's a single mom that was on benefits and now she's a millionaire today.
Amazing.
So and I'm going to have another workshop in July, because I feel like a lot of times single moms need to see people that are doing well.
100%.
To believe that they can actually do well.
Yeah.
You can live a fabulous life. Make sure you plan your life, because our kids are going to grow and they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you don't want to be one of those moms that's, you know, what are you doing today?
Right, living for the child.
Living vicariously through your kids. Yeah, you understand? We need to make sure you carve out your kids' life and then carve out your life, because you do not want to come a time whereby you're like, you resent your kids for having them. So you can be single mom and you can be happy. You can find love. Although I'm single at the moment and celibate. Yeah. Yeah. You can find love. And you can flourish, God helps, community helps, and there's so many tools out there that can help you. So many podcasts. We do not have any excuses not to flourish, whether it might not even necessarily be financially, but even mentally.
Yeah.
There's so many free tools out there. You can make 2024 an amazing year, but it is your choice. It is your choice. You're going to close your eyes and open your eyes. Your kid will be 15, 16, 25 out of the house. Yeah. And you're going to be like, where did my life go? This is the opportunity. This is the time to choose you as a single mom. So you can find me on the Happy Single Moms podcast. I'm also a career coach. So if you need any assistance, I'm willing to help. Just send me a DM. And I want all of us to flourish because we can do this. Khalifa.
Amen on that. Thank you so much, guys, for the Mama Drama podcast. Yeah, that was really, really good. I enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe, like, thumbs up, all of that great stuff. And we're out.
Bye.